From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hey listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you for the next 60 minutes in our terrestrial program. We will start our program with the news and other information as well as all Indonesian pop songs. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia.
Here is the news, first the headlines. The United Arab Emirates keen on developing Indonesia's new capital city. Iran agrees de-escalation only solution to solve crisis with the United States. Now the news in detail. The Crown Prince of the United Arab Emirates, Mohammed bin Zayed, said that he wants to be involved in the construction of Indonesia's new capital city through the concept of a sovereign wealth fund, SWF. It was stated by Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, at a press conference at the Emirates Palace in Abu Dhabi on Sunday night, January 12. Escorted by Antara, Minister Luhut, who was also accompanied by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto, State-Owned Enterprises Minister Erick Thohir, and Indonesian Ambassador to the United Arab Emirates Hussein Bagis held a press conference after accompanying President Joko Widodo to attend state event at the Qasr Al-Watan Palace in Abu Dhabi. United Arab Emirates want to be involved in various investment projects in Indonesia, including the construction of the new capital city, which is slated to be built in North Penajam Pasar and Kutai Kartanegara. The point was highlighted at a bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and the Crown Prince of the United Arab Emirates, Mohammed bin Zayed. Responding to the offer, Luhut explained that President Joko Widodo even asked the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed to become steering council for the development of the new capital city. Iran has signaled it favors a de-escalation after 10 days of heightened tensions with the United States, during which both sides fired missiles and Tehran accidentally shot down a passenger aircraft. Security was stepped up in Iran's capital Sunday after a vigil the previous night for those killed in the air disaster turned into an angry protest and police temporarily arrested the British ambassador for being there. U.S. President Donald Trump warned Iran against harming demonstrators and against a repeat of a deadly crackdown against rallies in November sparked by a fuel price hike. U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper, however, said Trump was still willing to sit down and discuss without precondition a new way forward with Iran, although Tehran has steadfastly refused to hold talks with Washington unless it lifts sanctions first. Tehran said it favored an easing of tensions after its arch enemy Washington on January 3 killed a revered Iranian general, Quds Force Chief Qasem Soleimani, in a Baghdad drone strike. United States Secretary of State Mike Pompeo condemned the missile attacks that again struck their army bases and the Iraqi military bases. Pompeo was furious because the attack was launched when Iran signaled to reduce tensions. AFP on Sunday, January 12, reported 8 consecutive missiles battered the Al-Balad Air military base in Baghdad, wounding 2 Iraqi officers and 2 pilots. However, until now, no party has claimed responsibility for the attack. The United States had previously accused the Iraqi groups supported by Iran as the perpetrators of the attacks. Al-Balad is an Iraqi F-16 airbase. The aircraft was purchased from the United States to increase the country's air military capacity. The base contains United States Air Force troops and contractors, but most have been evacuated following tensions between the United States and Iran over the past 2 weeks. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, during a telephone conversation with Swedish Prime Minister Stefan Löfven, said that the United States was to blame for the current developments in the Middle East. It was stated by the Iranian Presidential Press Office in a press statement. The president added that the Iranian attack on the U.S. bases in Iraq was carried out in accordance with the Article 51 of the UN Charter and was not a crime. Rouhani went on by saying that conflicts in the Middle East should be solved strictly by the countries in the region through political dialogue and with respect for the sovereignty of its state. The Swedish Prime Minister in turn offered his condolences over the death of many Iranians killed in a fatal Ukrainian plane crash and noted that he appreciated Tehran taking responsibility for the tragedy. Löfven called for a transparent investigation and ensured Sweden's readiness to help. On Saturday, the Iranian military admitted to unintentionally shooting down the Ukrainian Boeing 737, having confused it with a hostile cruise missile in anticipation of a retaliatory strike from the U.S. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif confirmed early Saturday that Iran shot down the jetliner, citing human error. Zarif expressed Iran's profound regrets, apologies, and condolences to the Iranian people, to the families of all victims, and to other affected nations. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Lava and broad columns of ash illuminated by lightning shot from an erupting volcano south of the Philippine capital on Monday, grounding hundreds of flights amid an alert for a possible explosive eruption. Homes and streets across the region surrounding the Taal volcano, which exploded to life on Sunday accompanied by a series of earthquakes, were created in fine grit, and at least 10,000 people had sought refuge in evacuation centers. The activity is due to the Philippines' position on the Pacific Ring of Fire, where tectonic plates collide deep below the Earth's surface. Schools in the region around Taal, government offices, and the Philippine Stock Exchange were closed as a precaution of Monday. Aviation officials said they were working to resume flights at Manila's main international airport, which was shut down Sunday due to the risk posed to planes by the volcanic ash. Taal, one of the smallest active volcanoes in the world, is in the middle of a lake and it is around 70 kilometers south of the center of the capital city of Manila. Authorities reported that the eruption of Mount Taal would likely to cause tsunami in the lake. Earlier, Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison said that at least 25 people have died, 2,000 homes have been destroyed, and 15 million hectares have been scorched across the country since the wildfire began in September. The Australian authorities have pledged $50 million Australian dollars, or $34.5 million US dollars, to protect and restore the country's wildlife habitat damaged by devastating bushfires, Treasurer Josh Freidenberg said on Monday, January 13. The bushfires, which have been raging across Australia since September 2019 and have recently intensified, have reportedly claimed 29 lives, destroying more than 2,000 houses and killing over 1 billion animals. Australia's authorities have mobilized the Navy and craft to extinguish the fires and are evacuating the population from the southeastern coast of the country. The last item. Some 2.5 million foreign tourists had visited Riau Islands province during January to November 2019 period, 11.89% rise from 2.3 million foreign travelers during the corresponding period in the previous year. The number surpassed the target set by the provincial government at 2.3 million for 2019. Istianto, acting governor of Riau Islands, remarked Tanjung Pinang on Monday. The total number of foreign tourists visiting Riau Islands had most likely reached 2.8 million last year. This is owing to the hard work put in by every stakeholders, including those engaged in the tourism industry, military and police personnel, as well as the people of Riau Islands. Istianto urged to diversify tourism activities, including by organizing sport tourism activities to attract more visitors to the province. The provincial government is currently developing Panyengat Island as an attractive tourist destination. Listener, there was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today's commentary is on President Joko Widodo visits Abu Dhabi to fetch investment. Indonesian President Joko Widodo left for Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates on Sunday morning, January 12. Some of the agendas to be carried out by President Joko Widodo include bilateral meetings with the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi and attending the Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week meeting. In the forum, President Joko Widodo will be the keynote speaker to discuss sustainable development and energy. However, the most important goal of the President Joko Widodo's visit to Abu Dhabi is a meeting with the Crown Prince Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed. Besides talking about matters relating to Islam and wakaf or endowments, both parties will also expand cooperation in the investment sector. The visit to the United Arab Emirates is President Joko Widodo's first overseas working visit in 2020, carried out as a follow-up to the Emirates Crown Prince visit to Indonesia in June last year. The president intends to fetch an investment of $4 billion to be disbursed by the United Arab Emirates. During a visit to Abu Dhabi, President Joko Widodo is scheduled to sign 4 memorandums of understanding in the investment sector. The first cooperation is Balikpapan Refinery Project between the Emirates Oil and Gas Company Mubadala and PT Pertamina from Indonesia. The second one is Balongan Refinery Project, which will be undertaken by Pertamina along with another company from the Emirates, Abu Dhabi National Oil Company or ADNOC. The third cooperation is the employment contract between Enterprise Global Aluminium or IG and PT Indonesia Asahan Aluminium or INALUM, and the fourth one is a working project between PT PLN Indonesian Electricity Company and Masdar in a floating solar power plant project in Cirata Reservoir, West Java. Data from the Investment Coordinating Board on October 31, 2019 shows Singapore is still listed as the highest country to invest in Indonesia with an investment value of $1.9 billion, followed by the Netherlands at $1.4 billion and China with a value of $1 billion. In 2020, the Investment Coordinating Board targets an investment achievement worth 886 trillion rupiahs. The influx of large amount of investment is expected to help the economy continue grow amid a global economic slowdown. United Arab Emirates investment in Indonesia worth $4 billion shows the country's high level of confidence in the investment climate in Indonesia. This also shows that Indonesia is still an attraction country to invest and proves that the level of global investment confidence in Indonesia is still quite good. The signing of the four memorandums of understanding in the field of investment between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates is also expected to further enhance world confidence in the investment sector in Indonesia. Well, that was commentary today on President Joko Widodo's visit Abu Dhabi to fetch investment. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, for the next segment, we present you Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia.
Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on January 13, 1941, when European allied countries met. On January 13, 1941, allied countries of World War II held a meeting in London. The meeting, initiated by Britain Prime Minister Winston Churchill, was held with the goal to unite policy of the Allied countries in facing Germany and Italy. Those who attended the meeting were delegations from the Netherlands, Belgium, France, Greece, Norway, Luxembourg, Denmark, and the host country, the United Kingdom. Next event is that the 1993 Chemical Weapon Convention was held. Chemical Weapon Convention was weapon controlling treaty which prohibited to produce, to store, and to use the chemical weapon. Designed in September 3, 1992, the convention was signed in Paris, France on January 13, 1993. The convention prohibited using, developing, producing, storing, and displacing the chemical weapon in big scale. The production was very limited for research, treatment, pharmacy, and reason of protective still allowed. The main obligation of the members under the convention was to implement the prohibition. The last event is that in 2001, earthquake hit San Miguel, El Salvador. On January 13, 2001, an earthquake hit San Miguel, El Salvador. The earthquake killed 944 people and injured 5,565 people, and hundreds of houses and buildings were damaged. Listener, that was Today in History.
Ku ingin cinta hadir untuk selamanya, bukan hanyalah untuk sementara, menyapa dan hilang. Pelangi yang indahnya hanya
was a song titled Pelangi or Rainbow by Hi-Fi. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are going to give you our program My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia and Japan boost cooperation in various fields. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi met her Japanese counterpart Motegi Toshimitsu in Jakarta on Friday. The meeting resulted in strengthening cooperation in several strategic sectors, one of which is economic cooperation in the outer islands of Indonesia, including Natuna. The two countries agreed to strengthen cooperation in the field of integrated marine and fisheries center development. Previously, Foreign Minister Motegi Toshimitsu had met President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta. On that occasion, President Joko Widodo asked Japan to invest in Natuna, Riau Islands. He also expressed his appreciation for Japan's cooperation in building the first phase of the Center for Marine and Fisheries in Indonesia. President Joko Widodo hopes that Japan can follow up the proposal to provide funding for the second phase of the Natuna Center development, since Japan is one of Indonesia's main partners. After a meeting with Minister Toshimitsu, Minister Retno Marsudi explained that Japan is committed to expanding investment in Indonesia. The country also supports Indonesia's industrial modernization and its desire to become a hub of re-exports of Japanese manufacturing products in the region. In addition to cooperation on Natuna and the Outer Islands, they agreed to establish a dialogue mechanism at the level of Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs in a bid to discuss strengthening strategic sector cooperation. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, both sides also agreed to strengthen the trilateral cooperation among Indonesia, Japan, and Timor Leste. Meanwhile, Japanese Foreign Minister Motegi Toshimitsu expressed his country's readiness to support the government of Indonesia's priority programs to realize superior human resources. Japan is ready to provide support for the development of vocational training and Japanese language training, including for the state civil apparatus and Indonesian skilled workers who will be sent to Japan. In addition to meeting with Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, Foreign Minister Motegi Toshimitsu also met Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, to further discuss Japan's investment plans for Indonesia. According to Minister Luhut Panjaitan, Japan plans to invest its capitals in Natuna, in the fisheries and tourism sector, and to strengthen the Sea Security Agency. He also revealed that besides Japan, the United States would also invest in Natuna through the U.S. International Development Finance Corporation or the American Development Bank. Well, that was My Indonesia Today on Indonesia and Japan boost cooperation in various fields. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Jadi satu di dalam ikatan percaya, ini asmaraku, ini asmaramu, tunggu makin sempurna. Oh, kau membuatku jadi diriku sendiri.
As I come here recruiting, it is more than just a physical attraction. Even though we're individuals, but we have this spiritual connection. The passion that is always you, the one and only.
baby, you can call me every time you feel you want me. And I'll be there for you, and I know you too. And I love you till the world is falling apart.
Was a song titled Kau Adalah or You Are by Isyana Saraswati featuring Rai. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, let's listen to our program Indonesian Wonder about Indonesian tourism and local culture. Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you Langkuik Tinggi Waterfall. Malalak is a district in Agam Regency, West Sumatra Province. Malalak consists of four nagaris, North Nagari Malalak, South Nagari Malalak, East Nagari Malalak, and West Nagari Malalak. In each nagari, there are beautiful waterfalls. No wonder if Malalak is well known as heaven for waterfalls lovers. In this district, there are Burai Burai Langkuik, Burai Burai Batingkek, Burai Burai Singkek, and Langkuik Tamyang Waterfalls. In today's edition, we will introduce you Langkuik Tinggi Waterfall. Langkuik Tinggi Waterfall is in South Nyur Malalak. It takes around 30 to 45 minutes from Bukit Tinggi and 3 hours from Padang. It is easy to find the location of the waterfall because its post is at the side of the street. Arriving at the location, you can park your car or motorcycle at the parking space. Parking ticket is worth 5,000 rupiahs. Then you must pay entrance ticket worth 5,000 rupiahs per person. Before entering, you must register at first at the post. Here, you will be offered tourism guide service. There is no special tariff of the tourism guide. It depends on your willingness to pay the guide. From the post to the location of the waterfall, you must walk around 1 hour. You will pass plantation, field, and forest. The terrain is quite quite extreme and the road is slippery when it is raining. Thus, you must be ready physically to go there. To arrive at the first waterfall, you must go down river. Languidinghi has 100 meters high and 5 waterfalls. From one waterfall to others, it has a close distance.That was Indonesian Wonder featuring Languidinghi Waterfall, and thank you for listening.
Terbang lepas bebas tepat di hadapan. Lalu kau bertanya, kapan kita bagai mereka?
Lepas bebas,
lepas bebas ke ujung dunia. Dan ku bertanya, maukah kau terima pinangan tanpa sisa cinta yang lain? Roda bahagia terpancar dari anggukan.
Saat ku pasangkan
pasang cincin di jemari.
Terima kasih kau terima pertunangan indah ini. Bahagia meski mungkin tak sebebas merpati.
Dan ku bertanya, maukah kau terima pinangan tanpa sisa cinta yang lain? Rona bahagia terpancar dari anggukan.
Saat ku pasangkan
pasang cincin di jemari.
Terima kasih kau terima pertunangan indah ini. Bahagia meski mungkin tak sebebas merpati.
Saat ku pasangkan pasang cincin di jemari.
Terima kasih kau terima pertunangan indah ini. Bahagia meski mungkin tak sebebas merpati.
Bahagia meski mungkin tak sebebas merpati.
You've just listened to a song titled Tak Sebebas Merpati, or Not As Free As Dove by Kahitna. And for the next segment, we're going to give you our program, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Lama Tinggal or Length of Stay. Next is a conversation about Lama Tinggal or Length of Stay. The conversation is between Kevin and immigration official.
Berapa lama Anda akan tinggal di sini?
Saya akan tinggal selama 1 tahun.
After the conversation, now I am going to introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Berapa lama, which means how long. Tinggal, which means to stay. Di sini, which means here. Satu tahun, which means 1 year. Tiga jam, which means 3 hours. Berapa lama Anda akan tinggal di sini? Berapa lama Anda akan tinggal di sini? Which means, how long will you stay here? Saya akan tinggal selama 1 tahun. Saya akan tinggal selama 1 tahun. Which means, I will stay for 1 year. Berapa lama transit di Bali? Berapa lama transit di Bali? Which means, how long did you transit in Bali? In the conversation, you listen the expression berapa lama Anda akan tinggal di sini. Question phrase berapa lama in English, how long, is used to ask about duration. For example, berapa lama Anda akan tinggal di sini? In English, how long will you stay here? In responding the question, you can mention the length of time is used. Let's follow some other examples. Berapa lama transit di Bali? Which means, how long did you transit in Bali? 3 jam, which means 3 hours. Berapa lama kamu berlibur di Indonesia? Which means, how long will you have vacation in Indonesia? 2 minggu, which means 2 weeks. In the Indonesian language, pronouns of the first person often used are saya and aku. The word saya can be used in various situations, both formal and informal situations. The word saya can also be used for a person whom you talk to, such as someone you respect, elder people, person who you've just known, or people who are already close to you or friend. Meanwhile, pronouns aku is only used in informal situation with friends. The pronouns of the second person in Indonesian language are usually used Anda and kamu. The word Anda is usually used in informal situation or in correspondence, while the word kamu is only used in informal situation if you talk with friends or younger person. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Berapa lama Anda akan tinggal di sini?
Saya akan tinggal selama 1 tahun.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Yang terlanjur terjadi.
Listener, that was a song by Miley Candy Essentials titled Terlena, and you're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, let's listen to our Indonesian songs in our program Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we will present a keroncong song entitled Bandar Jakarta. The song describes the beauty of Jakarta City, especially views at the coastal area when sunset. The song was composed by Ismail Marzuki and Iskandar. The two composers describe the beauty of the coastal area of Jakarta with melodious lyrics. Let's listen to the song Bandar Jakarta by Sri Dian Pertiwi. Enjoy the song.
Selamat malam. Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you so much for joining our broadcasting. Don't forget to give us your comments, like in our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, as well as Twitter @voiindonesia. I'm Amanda. Thank you so much and have a great day.